you know, I have to be my own true authentic self and do what is right for students. When I take this oath of office, I have to uphold that oath and stand up and stand by the ethics of which I am charged as a board member.
Hello and welcome to School Me, the National Education Association's podcast dedicated to helping educators thrive in the early stages of their career. I'm your host, Natika Samuels. One of the most effective ways to promote and protect public education is to elect educators to local office. We love to see our members use their skills and deep knowledge of the education system to lead and make the changes we need to give students the education they deserve. Today, I'm joined by Kimberly Scott Hayden, the 2021 NEA Education Support Professional of the Year and newly elected school board member in Union, New Jersey, to discuss her motivations and experience running for office, her visions for the future, and her advice for educators considering running for public office. Welcome back, Kimberly.
Thank you.
So you've been on the show before, but for those who may have missed that episode, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your path to education?
I work in East Orange, New Jersey, in the East Orange Public School System, 26 years as an educational support professional, or like I like to say, essential school personnel. What led me to my educational career, going back into the school district where I went to school, graduated high school. My mom taught in East Orange School District for well over 43 years. My dad worked in the East Orange School District for well over 25. I have a sister who works in public education as a teacher. And I have a sister who works for the state of New Jersey Department of Taxation as a tax investigator. So I would say public service is in my bloodline. So of course, naturally, my career led me back to where I went to school and what I felt my passion was, which was giving back to community. So that's how I landed in public education. And right now, at this point in juncture in my life, I'm currently leaving public education as of February 1st to go work for the union, the New Jersey Education Association, full-time on staff. So it's been a pathway. Education is still there, just on a different spectrum, working with members on behalf of members. That is my history and my journey.
Before you got this new position, which I definitely want to hear about, what were you doing?
I was a inventory control clerk, which means I dealt with fixed assets and shipping and handling. We run our own warehousing system within our school district, which allows our school buildings to order necessary supplies such as pencils, copy and paper, notebooks, file folders, you name it. We stocked it so that we didn't have to wait for Staples or WB Mason to supply those items as they were needed. We do deliveries intra-district as well as outside of district, handle mail. I did requisitions processing, but I also worked for the Division of Security Services as their secretary / administrative assistant.
And moving forward to your future or the next role that you're taking on, can you talk a little bit about what's next for you?
Well, my next position, new career, I should say, is a field organizing specialist with the New Jersey Education Association, where I'll be working primarily in the Northeast zones. We have zones here broken into four different zones. I will be working with local leaders and showing them how to use their membership database to go in and look at people who are potential members and learn how to organize around getting them to join the union, but also teaching local leaders how to organize around issues. And not problems, right? We don't organize around problems. We organize around issues. So teaching them, giving them the toolage that they need to be successful, to deal with the everyday issues that may be before them, but to deal with them in a manner that encompasses building membership at the same time and having member engagement, using data and statistics that are shown what's working and what's not working, right? And then retooling that to make sure that our local leaders are successful and not just maintaining members, but also attracting new members, right? Engaging our early career members, people newly coming into the profession, understanding why is it important to be part of the union, and active in your union, right? Finding your place in your union. This position is newly created, so it's exciting to me because I can't say like there's something for a past template or my past predecessor did it this way. So I kind of get to take it and shape it based on the platform and the foundation of what the organization wants, but also being able to take it and make it into my own baby, right? To birth it and see it come to fruition and have it grow out and develop with a team of excellent staff members who will be assisting me along my journey.
Great. And I also hear that you ran for school board. So so it sounds like there's a lot of change happening for you right now. Can you tell me a little bit about what made you decide to run for school board?
I will say I was approached probably about maybe 3 years ago about running for school board by some people who knew my history and my work, right, with the union as a local leader in the years of governance that I've had with NJEA. And they're like, oh, I think, you know, you'll be perfect for school board. At the particular time when I was asked, I'm one of those people that I don't think you should just run because somebody says you will be a perfect candidate. I think that, you know, timing is everything. And then more importantly, understanding your why, right? Why would I want to sit on the school board? Like, what would drive me to want to go give up my extra time and be inundated with different issues and problems and being able to just really have that time? So being on the board of directors at that time, a local president, doing a lot of governance work, I was just like, I can't really do it 100%. So if I can't do it 100%, I'm not going to do it, right? Because then something's going to lack somewhere. So I decided to wait. This was my last year on the board of directors. I was approached again, but not just because it was my last year as a director. I looked at it from the standpoint of my oldest daughter moved to where I lived in the township of Union. And she has four children, four school-aged children. And I looked at what I saw in my daughter who attended public schools here in Union. And I started reliving her experiences and things that I saw that I knew either I couldn't talk about the problems, but I wasn't going to be part of the solution, right? So don't complain if you're not going to be part of the solution. So I kept telling myself, I can't run for school board now. She's still in school. I'm doing all these other things. But then I said, uh-oh, wait. I got four grandchildren entering to this public school system who I know there's underlying issues, there's things that need to be addressed. So with me coming off the board, that became my why. And that's what I would say is very important, is knowing your why. Why are you running? Why do I want to do this? It can't be for your own personal self-gain. It has to be something more. And it still should really be about, a school board should be about children. So my grandchildren became my purpose. Understanding that what we needed here in Union, like I said, don't be part of the conversation of just always, you know, negatively talking about what you see if you're not going to be part of the solution to bring about the required change. So when I was approached, I said, you know what? I'm all in. I was asked if I knew anyone else who shared like-minded experiences, goals, and ideas for our children here in the community. And I have a friend who works in the same school system where I work, who also moved to Union several years after I did, who had three children in the school district. So having that conversation about why would you want to run? Why do you think it's important for you to hold a seat on the school board to impact children's lives and the community as a whole? And she joined me on the ticket to run, actually. So we ran on a ticket with the understanding that first and foremost, it was about being the change agent that our children, and when I say children, I mean all children, but it's a lot of stuff that the children who look like myself and my grandchildren, the services was lacking or diminished in a lot of ways. So it was about equity. It was also about restorative justice practices for our students in our district to make sure that they were uniformly being applied across the district, no matter what the child looked like, what the socioeconomic background was. So that was a lot of why I ran, to make sure that those things were in place, that our children had opportunity and they had equity.
How do you feel that your now past ASP position prepared you or informed your mission and intention to become a school board member?
Well, I would say first, if we're talking about the career side of it, working inside of the East Orange School District, I was definitely blessed with the opportunity to work in administrative headquarters. So I got to work amongst those who make the real decisions about what happens in our school district, and building those opportunities and being in that mix on a day-to-day basis definitely gave me a lot of insight about how policy works, right? How the Board of Education is ran, who gets to make the decision, what departments they come out of, learning Title 18A, which is our educational statute, 6A, different things like that. I would say, as far as the union side of it, I would say running for office, being a local leader, learning the intricacies of the team players, learning how to foster those relationships in the community, from the elected officials within the community, from the mayors, the city councils, the board members, understanding about contract language, right? How to get a contract settled, right? Learning that you don't have to be adversarial to build these relationships. That's not going to help you, but learning how to work and coalesce with those people who are going to make those decisions, who are going to have to be at the table with you, who you're going to have to sit across from and navigate those waters, but also just being professional in those regards to make sure that you achieve the best outcome for the school as a whole, but also for your members, because it's a two-pronged situation. I have to work well with administrators on my day-to-day to keep that job, but I also have to work well with administrators to settle contracts for the members that are out inside of the district in these schools every day doing this work. So it's almost like a double-edged sword. You got to play nice to maintain, but then I also have to play nice to make sure that my members had what they needed to be successful and that we were able to get contracts settled that actually spoke to their livelihood and was able to make it sustainable for them to be able to feed their families and do their jobs on a day-to-day basis. So I would say that definitely helped, and I think that's very important. No matter, and if you run for office, you have to be able to build relationships locally within school districts, within those systems that tie community and schools together. You have to be able to navigate those waters, but also be able to be astute enough to know it all ties in together. School and community is definitely strong, and politics plays a part in both aspects of that.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a pretty 360 view of everything that's going on, and that could be really useful. So That's great. Maybe this is a little premature, but what is your vision for the future of your school district? Like, what would you love to see in the next couple of years? Like, what would you love to see change in your district?
I would love to see more collaborative outreach between the school district and the community as a whole. What I would like to also see is more programs come out of it for our children who lack after school activities and services, particularly for, I would say, our parents who are socially, economically impacted, right? So we have programs like the YMCA. They have very few scholarships for low income families, which are usually gobbled up so quickly that those who are left out there who can't afford to pay for the full services don't have the aftercare opportunities, right? I would like to also see more programs, after school programs that also address the academic side from the school district, again, around the social emotional learning part, a loss that has happened in 2 years. We all know that while children have, it's been 2 years now since we've been in this pandemic, the learning loss, or lack, the loss of time of being with your peers and things like that, it has a detrimental impact to our students. We know that that's time that we can't get back. We know that while our children are technically maybe in the fourth grade, they're really still mentally in the second grade. So trying to figure out how do we embrace that gap, not just academically, but also emotionally and socially.
Sounds great. So you were an ESP, as we call it, and I think it's a little bit more common to hear about perhaps former teachers running for school board or running for certain elected positions. But why do you think that it's important for ESPs in particular to try to run for positions like this?
It's very hard to gain and garner the respect as an educational support professional because most of them don't see you as professionals. They see you as, you know, help, the person that comes in and lends a hand, or you do this particular job and you get paid X amount of dollars. They view you as non-degree holding, so they don't really value your input, right? So often we are left out there trying to fight and find our way and our place in public education, and actually to see yourself as the educator you are. A lot of us don't see ourselves as educators. We primarily see ourselves as, oh, I'm just a custodian or a bus driver or a cafeteria aide. We don't see how we fit in into the educational process. So I say it's important to run for school board because you do have value in what happens in that school building every day more than you know. You impact what happens in a student's life just as great as the educator before them. I think what we bring to the table is a lot of wealth, knowledge, and opportunities for making our schools better. Because why? We're in the trenches. We are the ones that are underlying running the building without even realizing we're running the building. So just getting our support staff personnel to understand the importance of what they do and what they bring to the everyday process is important, and how they impact students' growth is extremely important. And why not have your voice on the school board? Because again, you are the practitioner. You do know what our students need because you're in the trenches with them and you see them every day for who they are.
Similarly, why do you think it's important to have Black and Brown members of the school board representing in the district as well?
Well, I'm going to speak from where I am, where I'm currently serving on the board and got some numbers. So we have 73% of our students are of ethnic minority population here in Union. I think it is important that students, just like in, the teacher before them, they see people who are reflect them, who understand and can identify and relate to the issues within the Black and Brown community, who genuinely cares about them excelling in their academia. I think that it is important, and I'm not saying that our counterparts don't understand it and they don't care and don't get it, because I'm definitely not saying that, because I have some great colleagues on the school board. We have a great superintendent here in Union who definitely gets it and understands racial and social justice. But I think when we have Black and Brown board members that are servicing that community, they get to see that I too can be part of this process. And there are people that look like me who understands it, who are going to make sure that I have absolutely what I need to be successful as a student, but I can also come back and serve in this capacity should I choose to in the long run, that I'm creating space and opportunities for them as well.
Yeah, and I would bet that it has a similar effect on the parents or families, seeing that their communities are more directly reflected in the decision-making for the schools too.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks for listening to School Me, and a quick thank you to all of the NEA members listening. If you're not an NEA member yet, visit nea.org/whyjoin to learn more about member benefits. How did the union, you know, help you through this process, or what was the role of your union connections in all of this?
So the union connection is definitely tremendous, right? We have a great program here in New Jersey, See Educators Run, where we have people who are interested in running for office. They actually train you, show you about how to build out a campaign. I never even took that class, right? But I knew it existed because I've been in governance for a long time within the union. The process that the union played with my own election was, we do have what we call local endorsements, where you get the local association to either endorse you, come behind you, offer resources, which can be doing fundraisers, phone banking, door knocking, asking the state affiliate for funding to help fund your campaign. We really had a really good grassroots organization with the Union County Democratic Committee here in the township where I live. So a lot of our funding came from that particular organization itself. But the local here, the UTEA, actually did come out, endorse myself. There was a method to the madness of not endorsing the whole ticket, because if they did that, it would have had made the ticket conflicted with sitting on negotiations. So should we have been successful, it would have conflicted the whole ticket as a whole because of the endorsement of the local affiliate. However, they were strategic in endorsing myself because I was already conflicted for the most part of being a member, now being staff. It made sense, but it definitely helped tremendously because the educators within the township understood my values of union, right? Unionism, union activism, but also from a standpoint of doing what's best and right and just for our students. So having that back, they just know that they had a friend in Kimberly Scott Hayden, because I am union. Also a union leader, just from a different local, on a different town, a different district, but understanding that I knew what it was that they dealt with as educators every day on the front lines. They knew I understood that, and that I stood lockstep in with them in that regard, and that I was going to do what was best for them as educators, never looking to harm them, but looking to build out and build upon relationships that was already established with the union township leaders and elected officials, and helping them navigate and get what was best for them as educators, but making sure that our schools were solid too.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go in too negative a direction because I think we could all use some good news right now, but what were some of the obstacles that were in your way as you were taking on this adventure?
Well, sometimes people feel like just because you are union or you do what you do every day, of course, we know it's not a one-size-fits-all model, right? So what's good for East Orange or what we're doing at East Orange may not necessarily work in union. And then people felt like maybe because you work in education, you're not a good fit because people don't see it, how it actually goes hand in hand. They say, you know, you think maybe you know too much or you're too entrenched into it. So will you work on these initiatives or are you just looking for, like I was saying before, your next? So you still had your naysayers. And then when you also affiliated with local politicians, everybody don't always love their local politicians. So people were like, oh, you just a senator flunky or somebody that was handpicked to be part of this particular ticket at this juncture because you're going to be the puppet and do what this particular individual wants you to do. So you had to go out there and rebrand yourself to an extent, but also getting people to understand that I'm very well astute enough to make my own decisions, not based on party, not based on beliefs of another individual, but doing it based on what is fair and just and right for our students, right? And for the community as a whole. So getting people to separate that part of, yes, I may know this individual and may have the backing of this individual, but when I'm at that table making decisions for union education, for the students here in union, I know how to stand independent of any of that. If, you know, I have to be my own true authentic self and do what is right for students. When I take this oath to office, I have to uphold that oath and stand up and stand by the ethics of which I am charged as a board member.
Absolutely. What would you say to fellow educators who might be interested in running for local office, be it school board or some other position, but are apprehensive to take the next step beyond just saying, I think I would be good for this. I think I know what matters to me and I think I should go for it, but they're scared to take the next step. What would you encourage them to do?
I would first encourage them to whatever office it is that you seek to run for, to go do your homework, right? So if it's a board seat, I would say make sure you're attending your board meetings, knowing who the key players are, learning who is currently serving, who's up, who's sitting on what committees, who's chairing them, learning what's currently impacting the school district at that particular juncture. So being astute of the issues and a problem is very important. Because you want to become well-versed in them, you want to understand, like, what changes am I really going to bring and what really matters to you. So I would say, first and foremost, do that, but also know your why. Why do I want to take this on at this particular juncture? And what do I hope to see happen should I be successful? If you are apprehensive, I would say start talking to those who are sitting in those seats and asking them, like, what has your experience been? Because people are going to tell you what their experiences are, good, bad, or indifferent. They're going to tell you, particularly if you're in a position where you're not currently being paid to do what you're doing and you're genuinely doing it because you authentically like it and you see yourself being an agent of change.
What's your most important lesson or the most important thing that you've learned while running for school board?
Never take for granted that people are going to just be in love with you because somebody else is in love with you, or people are always going to buy into your ideas because you think they are good ideas, right? I say that when you run for office, you need to have thick skin, like tough skin, because you'll be surprised things that people feel comfortable to say to you. And, you know, you have to understand that people are frustrated, angry, have different issues or underlying circumstances that you may not be aware of, or they feel that you are not compassionate about or relating to. So, because they are taxpayers, they are your constituents, they are a part of this community, they often feel freely enough to come in and say certain things to you. So it's not that I try not to personalize it for me. I try to look at it from their lens and understand, you know, where that individual is coming from, but also understanding that if I'm going to really do this effectively, I have to be open to all avenues of what being elected means. And sometimes, even though it may not be in my purview to address this particular person's concerns, because I may not have the power, but everybody has the power to listen, right? We all have the ability to listen, to be compassionate, and to apply and assist with necessary resources that we may have that can direct that individual to get the help or resources, or at least navigate the waters that they need to find what it is that they need or seek, you know, to accomplish. So just taking those small opportunities to have those conversations and be able to just listen, right? The ability to listen goes a long way, more than we can ever imagine sometimes.
Yeah, it's also a way to get to know the community that you're intending to serve as well. So I think that's a great note about how to do this the right way. So I don't want to gloss over the fact that you were also named the 2021 Education Support Professional of the Year. It's been an interesting year for you, right? How have the past 10, 12 months been since you were named ESP of the Year?
Of course, being named the ESP of the Year was very exciting, yet humbling. I would say I was just excited to be able to lend my voice in spaces where I probably would have never had the opportunity to do so. Speaking to my fellow ESP members across the country and various different virtual platforms, unfortunately, but nonetheless, I was still able to address them, whether it was live or via pre-recorded videotape, just highlighting are as ESPs and understanding our value in the everyday process of educating our students, right? I would say the feedback and the relationships will never be forgotten. It's been tremendous. I would say rewarding, refreshing. I would say that I was able to actually within my state speak to my state affiliate about making sure we build out going forward when we have a state teacher of the year and an ESP of the year, that we formulate some kind of collaborative partnership so that we are working simultaneously instead of apart. So in other words, the teacher of the year has this platform and they're doing X, Y, and Z around the whole state and the ESP is doing something different. And I'm like, and I think if we're gonna really talk about building those partnerships and bridging those gaps within the classroom and within the school setting, that's the best place to do that. So in other words, we should see both people simultaneously together at some point focusing on something that shows a collaborative effort of rebuilding and reestablishing and refocusing what it is that we do on an everyday basis for our students. So my state was like, you know, we never thought about it like that. And I was like, yeah, you got an ESP, then you got a state. But at one juncture, do our members and our communities across the whole state see us together, standing lockstep, shoulder in shoulder, talking about something that we're building upon collaboratively to show that when teachers and TAs are in that classroom, there should be no separate or apart. The child should be able to see us as equals, standing before them to bring about the best educational process for that child. Not I'm the TA and I'm the certificated staff and you just my assistant. So I'm like, we need to bring that full circle and do it on a state level, but also on the national level, right? It should always be some kind of goal or initiative that draws that ESP of the year and the teacher of the year together on a collaborative journey to address X, Y, and Z. And that's the one thing I would say that I'm working on, that I'm hoping NEA and NJEA picks up and runs with, because it's a great honor to have, but I think that ultimately we should be looking at it of how do we build it up and out, but also understanding that both unions are not the teachers' union, we are the educators' union.
And since we are talking in early January, I feel like I have to ask you, what are you most looking forward to this year in 2022?
I would say normalcy. I am looking forward to trying to return to a sense of normalcy. Just self-care. I think all of us, I know myself included, because I do so much and I'm so giving of my time and myself that we genuinely tend to forget about just taking a step back and taking care of ourselves, right? Because if you don't take care of our temple and our bodies, then we can't be out there doing our best work for those who we seek to serve. So I said this in my interview with NJA, is that we as an organization have to go back to being about caring for the individual and being more humanistic in our approach. So I'm just hoping that 2022, we learn to be more kind, take care of ourselves, and just going, like I said, looking for a little bit of normalcy in what we do every day, because I think we've lost a lot of our compassion as people. And I think it's all bottled up in, because we hit that wall with COVID. Like, I know for myself personally, I was the type of person, like 5 days out from Monday to Friday, three of those days, I wouldn't get home till 8, 9 o'clock, because it was always a meeting or something I had to be at. So when COVID hit, you hit that brick wall. It's like, wait, what? Like, just don't, you can't go outside. I don't have a meeting. I have nothing that I need to be at. So I think just the whole concept of what we've known life to be coming to a halt, and then trying to re-identify and repurpose, right? Regroup, is taking a toll on all of us psychologically. I think that we have lost a lot of our compassion for just the humanistic side of who we are as people. And I think that I'm praying that 2022, we refine that, refocus ourselves, but in that learn how to step back and take care of ourselves also.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I'm hoping for the same thing. And I'm really glad that you were able to join us today and talk about everything that you've been going through this past year, because you've done a lot for what was probably a hard year for everybody, but you've done a lot, and I'm really happy for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and to my colleagues across this great country. I just say, remain vigilant and know that if no one else told you, I absolutely appreciate what you do on behalf of public education and our students. Thank you.
Thanks, Kimberly. Are you curious about running for office yourself? NEA created the See Educators Run program to help educators like you learn all you need to know about preparing to become a candidate and communicating with voters. We've trained more than 200 NEA members on how to run an effective campaign and win. If you're interested in running for office or simply want to learn more about the process, please check out the NEA's See Educators Run program at edvotes.org/see-educators-run. You can also find that link in our show notes. Thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of School Me. And if you find this podcast helpful, be sure to rate and review the show. It helps more people find us and the advice they need to survive their first few years in education. For even more tips and resources, you can visit us at neatoday.org/school-me.